From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 1 year ago this week, President Donald Trump was sworn into his second term in office. And to mark the milestone, California Senators Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff visited the newest and largest ICE detention center in the state. Both Democrats, Schiff and Padilla, have been vocal over their opposition to the escalation of immigration enforcement by the Trump administration. Yesterday, the senators traveled to the Mojave Desert to tour the facility in Kern County. Located in California City, the detention center is a former state prison and opened last summer with the capacity to hold more than 2,500 detainees. And since its opening, there has been criticism and lawsuits over the conditions inside. Wendy Fry is a reporter with Cal Matters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. And she joins us with her reporting from the immigration detention facility. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
So there were already more than a half dozen ICE detention centers in California. So why did they open the latest one this summer?
So this latest detention facility has a larger capacity than any of the other facilities throughout the state of California. CoreCivic got a contract with ICE in August to start operating this facility out there. We also know that they are transferring detainees from other places. So from people that they arrest for immigration offenses in other areas of the United States, they're bringing to California to detain them here at this detention center.
And when it comes to California, the majority of these facilities, they're mostly concentrated in just one or two counties, right?
That's right. They're out in rural areas. So the Otay Mesa one is in San Diego, is also in a pretty rural area of San Diego County. And then you have Adelanto, California City, and other facilities that are out in Kern County, also in very remote areas that are a little bit difficult to access. You know, it's a drive to get out to these facilities for advocates and lawyers and lawmakers.
You mentioned that transfers have currently been taking place since it opened in August. So the capacity for this facility, it is the newest and the largest ICE detention center in California. The capacity is more than 2,500 detainees. How many are there now?
The senators, when they came out yesterday from their tour, said now there are 1,400 people being detained there currently. And that is up quite a bit from just a couple weeks ago. There was a Bay Area lawmaker who came and did a tour of California City. And at that time, he was told, I believe there were 900 being held there. So within just a couple weeks here in the first weeks of January in 2026, we're seeing a pretty big increase of 900 to 1,400 detainees being held in California City.
Okay. Well, the last time you joined us on Insight in the fall, you mentioned how the number of detentions overall has increased in Trump's first year. What does that look like today in California?
Sure. There's been a huge spike nationwide. I think it's up 75% from the beginning of the Trump administration. So, well, in December, but right before Trump took office, there was, I think, about 60,000, and now it's up about 75%. So we are seeing a lot more people being detained, and the lengths of detention are increasing quite a bit. And the biggest increase of people who are being detained is people who have no criminal records. So that amount of people being detained that have no criminal records or prior criminal history other than civil immigration offenses has also shot up about 75%. And so we're just seeing a lot more people being detained for a lot longer. Advocates say they think that possibly the reason is to, you know, encourage people to accept those voluntary departures or to self-deport because the conditions are so bad and so scary that people might raise their hand and say, hey, get me out of here. I want to go home. Or they might choose to return to their country without having any interaction with ICE or immigration authorities.
Yeah, because this facility has only been open for several months and there have already been issues and concerns and lawsuits that have been filed. Can you remind us about some of the concerns and criticism that has been raised in the first months of this facility opening?
Sure, absolutely. So since the very first days of when this facility was open, we have been receiving phone calls from detainees who are inside the facility saying that they are not able to get access to their medications, that they're not being provided medications that they need, That the facility was not ready to open when it opened. So it opened, but it did not have all the things in place that it needed, like the different staff and the different, you know, systems in place to be ready to host all these people that have been brought there. We also know that the Attorney General staff, the California Attorney General Rob Bonta's staff, recently did a tour of the facility, and they warned of very dangerous conditions inside, particularly as it relates to inadequate medical care. And that's another thing that the senators, Senator Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff, highlighted yesterday that they heard from detainees, is that there is inadequate medical care. And people are having a hard time accessing medication that they need.
And this detention center is located about an hour outside of Bakersfield in Kern County. You mentioned the company that was contracted by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is Core Civic. What is this company? Like, what is their history?
Sure. Core Civic is a giant for-profit corporation that runs prisons throughout the nation. And they previously actually ran the prison for the state of California at this location at California City. So that detention facility previously was a state prison for the state of California for California Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections. And Core Civic was the company that ran the state prison for the state. So this company has a very long history of, you know, running prisons, and it's among two or three really key companies. So there's Geo Group and Core Civic are really the top two that do the immigration detention for the U.S. authorities here in the United States.
And yesterday, both California U.S. senators toured the facility. How significant is it that both Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff were at this facility in tandem together?
Yeah, so by law, it's a part of the congressional oversight duties for them to be able to tour. They can show up unannounced. In this case, they did announce, you know, they arranged the inspection ahead of time, but it is part of their congressional oversight duties to check on these facilities. And especially they said that they have been hearing from families of people who are detained and who are raising a lot of concerns about, you know, a lot of family members from L.A., detainees from LA are being moved out to this facility, which, as you mentioned, is about an hour outside of Bakersfield. It's a long drive for family members in LA. And also they're having trouble accessing their attorneys and advocates that way. So they conducted this this tour. And I do think it is a pretty big deal. It is an important thing for them to do because the members of the public can't go in there, right? Like the reporters weren't even allowed to go into the parking lot of the facility. So members of the public have no access to what's going on inside. And so it's important for there to be that layer of accountability.
Did the senators get full access?
I believe that they were with on a tour with the Core Civic. So they did what the Core Civic top, you know, brass wanted them to see, basically. And then they did have an opportunity to speak with detainees afterwards, too. So, they said that they toured the general, you know, population area, the places where people gather together. And then they also saw the solitary confinement area as well.
And you were outside of the facility because both senators held a press conference after they toured this facility in California City. We're going to play a clip of both senators discussing the conditions that they saw inside. We're going to start with Senator Adam Schiff, followed by Senator Alex Padilla.
As far as I can tell, the vast majority of the folks in this detention facility have no prior criminal history. Many of them that we spoke with were picked up at their immigration appointments. So they were doing what they were supposed to do to become citizens or establish a lawful presence. And at those appointments, they were picked up, separated from family. We talked to wives separated from husbands and separated from their kids. And I think the most frequent feedback we got was the inadequacy of the medical care that they were receiving.
In terms of access to medical care, it's not just the physical care that they need, whether they've sustained an injury, whether they have a chronic health condition, or one develops while they're here. And for the record, this is civil detention. This is not a prison, despite the environment. but the equal concern for mental health care. A lot of folks, as they first entered into custody, had some sort of condition. You can imagine the experience of being detained, being threatened with deportation, the impact on you as an individual, the impact on your extended family can be traumatic. We found that mental health care also lacking and demanding and insisting on improvement.
And Wendy, you have been covering this in an in-depth way since the beginning. After listening to both of the senators detail the conditions that they saw inside and the conversations that they had with individuals detained, you also receive calls from people who have been detained. Is this on par with what you've heard over the past year?
Yes, absolutely. This is exactly what I've also been hearing quite a bit from multiple different sources and people detained. You know, one of the ways people know to contact me is through my work that covering the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. And so a lot of the original people who were calling me were people who've been transferred from state prison to immigration detention. And they were saying the same thing, is a lot of these guys who are coming in to this facility have never expected in their wildest dreams that they would be in a prison-like environment. And so it was just extremely jarring and extremely shocking, because the men that were talking to me were saying that, you know, they have learned over the years how to adjust to life being detained, life in prison, right? They've learned what you need to do and like to set a schedule, and you have to get up, you have to get yourself, you know, involved in something positive to keep your mind right, to deal with the stress of being detained. But a lot of the guys that were bringing in had no ever prior history of any kind of criminal offense. And so it was just extremely shocking to them. And a lot of them were just staying in their bed all day crying because they were so shocked about, you know, the detentions and being treated like a criminal, right? And the other point that I just want to highlight there too, I think it's a very important message that they're highlighting there about the medical care, because, you know, 2025 was one of the deadliest years for ICE for in-custody deaths in a couple decades, right? There were more deaths last year than there have been in two decades prior. And this year, there's already been nationwide 6 deaths in ICE custody, and we're only 21 days into the year. And so that's what they found alarming about it, is if people with very serious medical conditions aren't able to access their medication, there may be another death. And so that's sort of what they're aimed at preventing by bringing this oversight.
How has ICE, CoreCivic, Homeland Security, how have they responded to this?
Sure. So CoreCivic has always really stressed that they follow all federal standards. So there's federal obligations that they have to meet and checklists that they get, you know, evaluated on, and that they always have met all federal standards for medical care. Department of Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin has made the point that this is probably some of the best medical care that some people have ever gotten in their lives. That's the quote that she's been saying over and over again, is that she thinks people are getting better medical care inside these facilities than they ever have before. The people that we've talked to would disagree with that, but that's, you know, that those are the different perspectives that have been shared on it.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters reporter Wendy Fry about California Democratic Senators Adam Schiff and Alex Padilla, who toured California's newest and largest ICE detention center yesterday. So on that same day, you did interview a man named Carlos, who says that he was detained at one of these facilities in California. Before we play part of the interview that you had with him, you met him through the nonprofit CHIRLA. That's the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights. Just explain a little bit more who they are.
Right. So this is a group, an organization that advocates for immigrant rights throughout the state. They're particularly very active in the LA area, but they also, you know, are active in advocating for state policies, state laws that support immigrants and help immigrants and advance immigrant rights.
They had a meeting afterwards. It was sort of like a debrief afterwards with the senators. So the senators went to the Chirla offices to meet with families of people who are detained at California City. And then also they heard from this gentleman, Carlos, about his experience being detained at Adelanto.
Okay. And so listeners are aware we're going to play an excerpt of the interview yesterday with Carlos. This will be in Spanish and we will translate it after we hear from him in his own words. He is in his 40s. He says he was detained at the Adelanto facility outside of Victorville for 98 days, and he was detained while walking to Home Depot in San Bernardino with another family member. So let's take a quick listen of the 98 days that he described his experience at this facility. And a content warning, there is talk of sexual assault.
¿Usted tiene una familiar que está detenido allí?
Estuve detenido por 98 días en el centro de detención de Adelanto. Soy una persona diabética. Vine a agarrar medicamento hasta que la organización Chirla cooperó con mi familia para poderme ayudar. Sufrí un preinfarto, sufrí intento de una violación sexual, un intento de asesinato. Salí con una bacteria que me hace vomitar sangre. Y
lo siento mucho.
Gracias a Dios estoy vivo porque Dios es grande. Los medicamentos de ahí son del año 2023, de medicamentos vencidos. La comida, una comida horrible, lentejas, arroz, repollo y lechuga, desayuno, almuerzo y cena de lunes a viernes. Cuando llegan los senadores nos meten a un lugar bien limpio mientras ellos están ahí. Y el que habla y dice algo es castigado, lo mandan a un cuarto oscuro hasta 20, 30 días ahí sin comunicarse con su familia y sin nada. Fueron los momentos más duros de mi vida, 98 días. Bajé de peso, mi trauma no se quita, mi bacteria que me hace vomitar sangre todavía no me recupero. Y la verdad es un trauma muy psicológicamente muy duro para mí.
Claro.
Y esta reunión que tuvimos con el senador y la señora Angélica Salas ha servido de bastante para mi persona y para todos los que estamos aquí. Es algo muy horrible lo que está pasando en la comunidad inmigrante.
And just a reminder, this man, Carlos, was detained at the Adelanto facility, spoke with Wendy Fry, a reporter at CalMatters, who's here with us now. Wendy, can you translate what Carlos told you yesterday?
Sure. So he said he was detained for 98 days at the detention center. He is diabetic. And so he came into contact, I believe, with Chirla to help get medication, access to medication. And they helped his family help him while he was being detained. He said while he was in there, he suffered a pre-heart attack. He suffered an attempted sexual assault, an attempted murder. He left with a bacterial infection that makes him vomit blood, and that's still a condition, a health condition that he's had. He said the medication that they have in there was expired. So he was being given, this was in 2025 that he was detained, and he was being given medication from 2023. The food, as we've heard from a lot of detainees, the food is horrible, just lentils, rice, beans, cabbage all day, every day, Monday through Friday. He said when senators arrive to do these types of tours, they put everybody in a nice place, like a clean area, and anybody who speaks up is punished and put in a dark room for 20 to 30 days without communicating with anybody, without their family. And then he said also, you know, he went through some of the hardest moments of his life, basically those 98 days. He lost weight. He also still felt traumatized. And he still has times where he vomits blood. He was telling me that he's still suffering from that medical condition with that infection that he got in there. And it's just been difficult psychologically for him. It's been a trauma. And meeting with Angélica Salas, who she's the executive director of Chirla and the senators, was helpful to him. He was glad to be able to tell his story and also said what's going on, what's happening to the immigrant community is horrible.
Has ICE or Homeland Security responded to Carlos's account of what happened?
No, they haven't. And I'd reached out to CoreCivic and they had directed me to ICE, and I'd reached out to ICE, and I have not heard back about any of the kind of issues that were raised yesterday yet. So we will update if we hear anything from them, obviously.
Finally, Wendy, I mean, beyond the visual of a press conference, what can come out of Congress members or senators touring these facilities, especially when these senators are politically opposed to the Trump administration? I mean, what weight do these tours and press conferences have?
Well, I mean, I do think it does shine a light. It draws the public's attention to it. It obviously it draws the media's attention. So we start looking more carefully at, you know, issues of access to medical care or issues of denied medical care. I also, you know, Padilla's on the Senate Oversight Committee too. So they could, you know, they could call congressional hearings and it might be a first step to where they're doing more research and investigation on their own into what's going on into the facilities. So I do think that it has some weight. I will say from seeing yesterday, there were a lot of core civic kind of like top brass who also came into town too. So they took this seriously, this tour with the senators. They took it seriously that they were doing it. So that might help improve conditions somewhat.
Wendy, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And that is CalMatters reporter Wendy Fry, who traveled to Kern County yesterday, where California Democratic Senators Adam Schiff and Alex Padilla toured California's newest and largest ICE detention center. Up next, a major fruit processor in the Central Valley is shutting down. We'll talk about what the closing of Del Monte's Modesto Cannery means for one of California's historical breadbaskets. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.